Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind your business, only on Money FM 89.3.
Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3 is brought to you by Xero. Xero, it's beautiful business.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, Malaysia's political scene has been fluid for a while, Thailand's as well. Myanmar Rohingyas were feeling anger and despair ahead of their polls, and the list goes on. So to what extent does the political and social unrest in the region pose risks to business? How does it impact the business imperative to go regional? And doesn't change sometimes spur innovation and growth? Charles Ferguson is General Manager for Asia Pacific at Globalization Partners, and we get his insights. Charles, thanks for spending time with us again.
Thank you for the invite. It's great to be here.
So ramifications of, say, political and social unrest in a region, on a region, what are those before we head to, say, if it's happening in other regions and the impact it might have on this region?
Look, it's such an incredible time right now globally, and as it relates specifically to our region, we're seeing the trade contests in the first instance between the Greater China PRC region and the United States play out on a global stage. And I think that it certainly had an impact from an economic perspective on Southeast Asia, for example. Some of the more pronounced social, economic, and political, let's call it instability, for lack of a better term, with respect to Malaysia and Thailand and Myanmar. And putting all those things into context, you know, if we look back over the, let's say, the 53, 54 years since ASEAN was formed, we've had so many periods of testing the solvency and the integration of the ASEAN region. And if we look through the lens of political stability, I think it's relatively safe to say that despite changes in administrations or regime changes in some instances, the majority of the policies and intentions and trade agreements that have been put into place over those five plus decades have remained to a very large extent intact. And that bodes extremely well from a business perspective. The complexity of this region, if we think about the statistics related to the economics and the demographics, it's a phenomenally complex environment, which is kind of a two-edged story, isn't it? I mean, it's on the one hand, very daunting and wrought with a lot of challenges, et cetera. But on the other hand, it's a massive opportunity. If we talk about it purely from the political and social element, with some of the challenges that we've been seeing with upheaval in the markets most recently, I still feel very confident that the overarching architecture of the ASEAN region is actually playing really, really well to maintaining a level of stability. There's a commitment by all of the member states of ASEAN to not get directly involved in the, the internal challenges or political aspects of each of these particular countries. And that's really been part of the core tenet of mutual respect that's kept ASEAN to a very large extent around the world as viewed as a peacemaker, as an example. I don't wring my hands over this. I think that it's just part of the growth, the youth, the passing of the torch from one generation to another. And I think we're going to see more of it, but I don't think it's a disaster looming.
Thing is, though, Charles, markets might wring their hands a wee bit because, Absolutely. Markets don't like uncertainty. Who does? So how can businesses prepare for continued uncertainty, it looks like?
Look, that's a really good point and a very valid one. I think that it's incredibly important for businesses to kind of look at fundamentals. And as we think about the fundamentals, let's hark back to not too terribly long ago, 97, 98, when we had the Asian financial crisis. And the Asian financial crisis, and I'll speak to the great financial crisis in a moment, but we had the ASEAN region had tigers, right? We had a strong production base. We had a burgeoning, rapid expanding manufacturing base and young demographics, et cetera, even before sort of China and India stepped into the global factory type of marketplaces that they became preeminent in. And what's been fascinating about that, even post the financial crisis that struck particularly in Southeast Asia in the late 90s, we've seen a strong degree of stability, a strong ability for the economies of this region to adapt, to cope, to connect, and overcome some of those critical challenges. And even post the great financial crisis in the late 2000s, you know, we've seen predominantly a very strong degree of control. Emerging market kind of fundamentals have remained, you know, pretty much in place. They're not as easily spooked by, you know, the movements in the United States federal interest rates, or, you know, they're just better control over fiscal policy. And when you think about that, and you think about some of the interconnectedness of this region, it's actually very encouraging. Now, getting spooked by the markets is as old as the markets themselves. But I do feel that, again, the economic fundamentals are in place. If you put in your planning these disruptions, you might not know what they are, but you have to have them as part of your business plan. What are your business continuity plans? What are your backups? And I'll tell you, Howie, it's really interesting to see how, example, the trade contest between the United States and China, it's creating all these opportunities in this region with respect to the diversity being built into supply chains. And how that's feeding into Southeast Asia's economic planning so beautifully. And I think it's creating incredible amounts of opportunity, both for small and large enterprises.
We're speaking with Charles Ferguson, who is General Manager for Asia Pacific at Globalization Partners. So this stability, this strong fundamentals, that's a testament to what? How strong ASEAN is as an organization?
Look, it's a testament to a point in time, if for no other reason. And we have some really interesting sort of opportunities that are converging all at the same time. So I mentioned, you know, the geopolitical stability and the regional relationships that we have, both within the construct of ASEAN as an association, but also with our bigger brothers and sisters in the neighborhood, you know, Korea and Japan and China, and even further abroad with the United States and the European Union. For sure, there are, you know, governance challenges for businesses that need to be put into the frame. And I feel like, going back to my point with respect to a point in time, there is this unique characteristic that we have in this region where we don't have a lot of technology debt that we're dragging to the table by virtue of being sort of more mature businesses on the time scale. We are emergent, for lack of a better term.
What do you mean, not saddled with legacy systems?
That's exactly right. We're more adequately prepared to embrace digital innovations that are going to more coherently enable transparency and promote economic growth in this environment, particularly with the youthful demographic that we have in abundance across the ASEAN region. And when you put that into the frame along with new business models, you know, we have a growing market here with, you know, 650 million potential consumers. Our GDP has increased year over year since the founding of the region, and our connectivity through regulatory approach and sort of this light touch that I mentioned earlier with respect to not getting too involved in the political sort of landscape of our neighbors, but maintaining strong adoption of trade policy between each of the member states. It's fostering creativity. It's fostering entrepreneurship. With those youthful demographics, you've got this inclusive growth and sustainable development kind of commitment. And that, to me, is really driving a lot of the opportunity for this region.
Charles, you were recently quoted in a Business Times article that strong political will is needed, a well-crafted plan. What do those look like? And these geopolitical uncertainties that several territories in this region are going through might upend that, the strong political will, so to speak.
Yeah, look, it's absolutely the case that some of these challenges that are starting to become more pronounced in the region are going to throw obstacles in front of the economic integration that you know, ASEAN is trying to continue to foster and drive forward. The ASEAN Economic Community, the AEC, was launched in 2015, and in that same year, ASEAN put together a kind of a statement around their 2025 vision, and we're 5 years down that path. And the AEC really, it's aiming to foster a single market with focus on industrial capacity, with increase in competitiveness, with supporting inclusive growth and integration of the region into a more globalized participant from an economic point of view. And I think we're making tremendous strides in that regard. I mentioned, you know, new business models, and I'd like to weave that into this idea that with the policies around trade, with the exchanges in education, with the easing of tariffs around the ASEAN region, the types of trade agreements that we have, both within, you know, the intra-regional trade agreements, but also the revised TPP that was signed by ASEAN and Australia and Canada in 2018. There's just a lot of momentum that's built up here that I think is going to be extremely difficult to derail, frankly. You've got an economic block, you know, within the next 5 years or so will be the fourth largest economic trading block on the planet. And you can't turn a blind eye to that as an opportunity. Fundamentally, though, it's really important to understand that the vast majority of the fuel or the engine of that growth is in the SME sector. And you mentioned the fundamentals with respect to proper planning, et cetera. One of the key challenges that ASEAN and many other emerging markets are going to face is when you've got this incredible amount of small and medium enterprise driving your economic growth, you have to have extremely prescient and well-designed policies and plans and models put into place to assist these companies. What do I mean by that? Example, the financial acumen, the business sense, the access to capital, the access to skills, and the ability to tap into a network of strong business partners to help ease the entry into new markets is absolutely fundamental and critical for these companies to be successful, particularly given the dynamics that have been brought to the fore by the pandemic. It's a scary time to be an SME. That's not to say that they don't have strategic advantages over large enterprises. They do, but you have to kind of look through the lens of the points that I just raised and see, are the countries catering to those needs?
So Charles, what do you expect from the ongoing 37th ASEAN Summit, which might go to addressing some of the current global challenges?
You know, Howie, it's really, really exciting, actually, if you look at this through the lens of cohesion for our region, addressing some of the issues we brought up earlier with respect to some of the unrest. When we put it into the frame of the economy, you know, let's step back and look at what's happening here. The biggest outcome that we're anticipating from the ASEAN Summit this year is the signing of the RCEP, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. This FTA, you know, this free trade agreement has been on the cards for quite a while. It effectively became a topic of negotiation formally launched in 2012. And it's been back and forth, and logically so, because if you look at the span of this thing, we're talking about 15 countries who are stepping up to the table to try and deploy the largest free trade agreement in the world. It's simply phenomenal in its scope. We're talking about close to half of the Earth's population, a third of the world's gross domestic product. And this is slated to be signed literally this week. That doesn't mean it's done. It's going to take about 12 to 24 months to be completely ratified. But the reason I put this out there is as a tremendous outcome, because as these countries, you know, go back to their respective domestic markets and work with their respective governments to ratify this treaty, there's going to be a litany of policies and subsidies and different aspects of economic stimulus that are going to be aligned to open up this region for this FTA. And when you think about that, you know, businesses in our region, as an example, specifically looking for growth opportunities, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to expand your offering into new markets. A firm is going to need to embrace, you know, an explorer mentality, regardless of what size they are or what stage they are in their growth. They're going to absolutely need to embrace innovative business models, employer of record from companies like Globalization Partners or technologies like software as a service, to really take advantage of the speed that's required to, you know, go through this narrow window and get first mover advantage. That's going to be the prize if the firms can kind of partner well with technology and different services. The other aspect of this is that at the same time, we have all this volatility politically, but we also have all this volatility from the pandemic. And there is going to be a unified response to the pandemic coming out through the ARF, the ASEAN COVID Response Fund. The ASEAN states and all their partners putting together the Center for Emerging Diseases Response, which is going to be announced at the summit. And the establishment of this is going to have like a bank of reserved medical supplies, policies to deal with the interconnectedness of testing and distribution of relief, et cetera. So you got the largest FTA, you know, in the history of the world, covering a vast majority of the Earth's population, a cogent and cohesive response to a pandemic, and this opportunity now to create economic fertile ground for companies to expand. I think it's a phenomenal opportunity.
Charles Ferguson, General Manager for Asia Pacific at Globalization Partners. Charles, always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
This is Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3.
Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3 was brought to you by Xero. Try Xero free for 30 days at xero.com.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.